Dear Heavenly Father, let that be truly what we believe and do. You have given us life by your life being sacrificed on the cross. You died for us so that we could live for you. Lord, the gospel has changed our lives. Today, as we open up your word, I ask you to open up our ears. Let us hear your word. Give us minds to understand, hearts to receive it. We just pray this in your name. Amen. All right, we have started the book of Galatians. Today I want to talk about the power of the gospel. You know, as I said, I got back from a military weekend Monday morning. I got in here and I was tired. I said, okay, I'm going to see how bad Gordon did on the sermon. So I pulled up the website and I got to his sermon and I listened to it, and it was just so encouraging. It was so to hear a former pagan, heathen, sinner, redeemed, washed by the blood of the Lamb, saved by the gospel of Christ, and now is preaching the word. And it was awesome. It was encouraging. It gave me life for this week, and I had a lot to do this week, and it was a good way to start the week. God is good. The gospel is good. Today I want us to leave here and understand how good the gospel really is. The gospel is not just for salvation, but for the complete work the gospel does in us. The true gospel is much more than just saving us. It empowers us each day to live for Christ. It changes us completely. It changes us from those who had no hope to those who have never-ending hope. It changes us from those who used to be enslaved to sin to those who are now free to seek holiness. It changes us from being religious people burdened with rules and traditions of men to people of faith, free to live in the liberty of Christ. The gospel changes how we see and we treat other people. How good is our country getting along today? Racism, male chauvinism, radical feminism, political hate is everywhere. Anger. The gospel can heal all that. The gospel changes our political views. Yes, I'm going to go political. It changes our work ethics. It changes our entertainment. The gospel is the power of salvation, but it's also the power of transformation. We are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The gospel changes everything. Every aspect of who we are is affected by the gospel we're supposed to be. This is what we call the sanctification process, what we talked about in our last series, the discipleship series, where the Holy Spirit, who we receive through the gospel, transforms us. Now, is it an easy path? No, it's a difficult path. We have to let go of all the old aspects of ourselves. We have to embrace the new aspects that God brings. We have to allow God's Word to redefine who we are, how we think, how we act. And we need to be obedient to the Word. Now, a lot of times people don't see this one word here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Let me be very clear, people. If there's been no new creation in you, no change as an individual, then you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. Period. The gospel is not only designed to bring salvation, but also transformation. And for many people, the spiritual transformation is a bridge too far. It's too difficult. It's too inconvenient to what they want to do in their lives. But as we sing those songs, we lay our day down, we lay our life down, we lay our dreams down. But for many people, it's too inconvenient. So they look for an easier way. And when they're looking for something easier, than sanctification, the enemy is there and easily leads them away from the true gospel. This is what was happening in the book of Galatians, in the churches of Galatia. They were going to a false gospel. Paul is confronting the problem of forsaking the gospel of faith to a gospel of works, returning to the law, to religious traditions. You see, being religious is much easier than sanctification. It's easy to put a good religious outward showing instead of letting the Holy Spirit change the inner heart. Being religious is easier. So a lot of people take that path so they look good. Paul is wanting the Galatians to understand that the false teachers are taking them away from Jesus Christ. Away from the path the gospel calls us to. The path of discipleship and sanctification, where all things are made new. This is what we talked about in our last sermon series. There is only one true path. We all come to the cross, but then after the cross it's discipleship. But we go to these other paths that are easier, that are trying to be, you know, counterfeits, cheap substitutes. Let me tell you, there is no other path for the true believer. The Holy Spirit will not allow the true believer to be ignorant of the calling of discipleship. Especially here, because the pastor here is going to preach the word. So no one here can say, well, I didn't know what, you know, stand before God one day, I didn't know we were supposed to take the path of discipleship. And God will get on our website and pull up all my sermons and go, no, it was very clear. It was made clear to you. Path of discipleship. God desires us to be His disciples. Any other path is against the will of God. 2 Thessalonians, the will of God for each one of us is sanctification. That's what discipleship is. All other paths are works of some kind to replace sanctification. These other paths do not produce the evidence of true salvation. There's no assurance of salvation on these other paths. Only the path of discipleship produces sanctification, which is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Which the Holy Spirit is the only guarantee of salvation. Discipleship is a life of faith in Christ alone. And only those in Christ are justified before God. Justification, being that you can enter into heaven, enter into the presence of God. How does a person know they are on the right path? That they believe in a true gospel, because there's a lot of false gospels out there. Well, it's easy. It is very easy. The true gospel changes everything about you. That's why I've entitled this sermon, The Life-Changing Gospel. We'll be in Galatians 3, verses 1 through 9. So, let's go to verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. The foolish Galatians, he's not talking about their intellect, like they're dumb, but their lack of obedience and understanding to the truth. Why have they turned from faith alone in Christ to religious works? We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith alone in the grace of God through Christ. And we can't grow in the faith by our works. That only comes through, again, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That makes it possible for us to have the Holy Spirit to be transformed. You see, that sacrifice on our behalf is not just for the moment of salvation. Christ didn't die on the cross just for that moment of salvation in your life. He died on the cross so that you can be saved and transformed. The cross, the gospel, plays a part in every day of our life. It never ends. It's a daily reality for us. The core aspect of the gospel, Jesus crucified, should continue to affect us for the rest of our lives. Every day we're tempted. Every day. What keeps us from falling in that temptation? Jesus crucified. He died for my sins. Why should I put that off to the side and embrace this sin? Every day, why should I love this person? Jesus crucified. He loved me so much He gave His life. We are called to pick up our cross daily, to remember our lives are not about us, but about Christ. We live by faith each day in what Jesus has done for us. We don't start believing we're just this amazing person that God believes in, and we're just so special. And I'm not trying to be too sarcastic here, but it's becoming a message that is dominating many churches in America, how special you are. That makes you look at yourself. And once you take your eyes off of Christ and you start looking to yourself, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. There should not come a day when we don't think Jesus crucified. Jesus on the cross. Verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Paul writes to them, did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? We can't save ourselves. We're saved by grace alone, not by works. But now once we're saved, now we're saved, we're so special that we can make ourselves better by doing all these works. We can turn to ourselves to improve ourselves instead of letting the Holy Spirit perfect us. Having begun in the Spirit, born again, saved, you're now being made perfect by the flesh, by the works of the law, by man's traditions. Here's what some churches have told you. Hey, you want to be a good Christian? Well, you make sure you attend church. I heard a pastor say this time, you want to be a good Christian? Then you attend church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night visitation, Wednesday night service. And I'm like, wow. He said, if you don't do that, you're a backslidden Christian. I got up and I walked out. It's legalism. Here's a to-do list to make yourself good. Our works don't make us good. The Holy Spirit can change my heart to where I treat people better, I love people better. I don't sin. I honor Christ. Am I perfect at it? No. But I'm a lot better than I used to be. Not because of me, because I've surrendered to Christ. His Holy Spirit has more control in my life now than He did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's not about attending church. It's not about tithing. It's not about being a good person. That's religion. Yes, we should be in church because we want to be in church because you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You're my family. I want to be in church. But not trying to earn God's favor or not trying to show off and go, look how good I am compared to the rest of you heathens. There are things that we want to do because we've been changed and saved, not because we have to do. We are made perfect by the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit through, here we go, the Word of God. Look what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel. So we're saved through the gospel, through sanctification, by the Spirit, belief in the truth, for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation through sanctification by the Holy Spirit. How does a person know they are saved? By the evidence of sanctification of the Holy Spirit. There it is. And what is the evidence of sanctification? It's the transformation into the image of Christ. We obtain the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? His character, His heart. We get to obtain that in ourselves. Paul clearly stated this back in Romans, that we're to be changed into the image of Christ. Romans 8. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. The believer, the true believer, takes on the image of Christ. The mind, the heart. Believers become reflections or copies of Jesus Christ. Why? So the world can see in us Him. And know that He's real and He's alive. And He's changed our lives. And He can change yours. We can show them His heart, His ways, His love, His truth. That's the meaning and purpose of life. If that's not the meaning and purpose of your life, you're missing out. You're missing out. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians right there. It says, salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To obtain the glory of Christ, the sanctification of yourself by the Holy Spirit, which we're called to through the gospel, which we have received by faith. So true salvation through the gospel is proven by sanctification of the believer by the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. What is the truth? Well, John 17:17. Sanctify them, sanctification, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Holy Spirit takes the word of God because we're seeking the word of God. So He takes that book and He works and He changes and renews our mind and restores the soul. He changes who we are. From the inside out. Religion works on the outside. Spirit takes the Word, sanctifies us. The Word will perfect us. That Bible that so many neglect, that Bible is well, look what Paul said to Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete, perfected, thoroughly equipped for every good work that God calls us to. You see, we begin with the gospel. It's the word of God. We hear the truth from Scripture about our sin, our separation from God, our His judgment upon us. But we also hear from the Scripture His love, His plan, who Christ is, why He came, what He did for us and on the cross and the resurrection. We hear the Scripture, we hear the Word, the gospel. And salvation comes when we repent of our sins. But from that point, we continue in the Word. We start with the Gospel, which is the Word of God, but now we're to continue in the Word, and the Holy Spirit uses the Word to sanctify us. This is what the enemy does not want to happen. Because when a person is a true disciple who is being sanctified, because it's an ongoing daily process, that believer will be out in the world showing Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel. Causing more people to come to Christ. So the enemy wants to stop that from happening. So how does he do it? Well, he comes into churches. He gets churches to be divided about all sorts of dumb things. He gets people to take their eyes off of Christ and take some other path. They come in and they distort the word and they start teaching things that make people, tickles people's ears, tell them, oh, you're so special and God just is there for you. Whatever your dreams are, God wants to fulfill those dreams and it's all about you, you, you. And he gets people to stop being sanctified. He stops the gospel. That's what was happening here in Galatia. Let's go back to Galatians 3, verse 2. This is all I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by hearing of faith? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? False teachers were sent by the enemy into the churches to pull people away from the true gospel. He's very successful at this. Very successful even today. Let me show you what the majority of people believe in the world today. Especially in our country. I'm going to use the Roman Catholic Church as the best example, but let me just tell you, all the false religions and all the false teachings that are out there are basically the same. Somehow, you're going to make yourself good enough for God by your works. You're going to be justified in front of God by your own self. So, here we go. Justification, being declared righteous before God, according to Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. This is what they teach. Faith plus works equals salvation. Not what the Bible teaches, but that's what they teach. Here's the basic plan. Now, when it's from the Roman Catholicism, you are born as a baby, and you are baptized, you are justified in God's eyes because of what Jesus did on the cross. So you're baptized as an infant, that makes you righteous. But, as soon as you start growing up, what happens? You start sinning. So, you fall from righteousness. And if you do enough sin, which we all do, then you fall down and you are unrighteous now. So how do you become righteous again? Well, now you have to do what the church tells you to do. You got to go to Mass, you got to go to confession, you got to receive the Eucharist, you got to do all these works, you got to be confirmed, you got to do all these things, you got to pray to the saints, you got to do all these things. They're traditions to make yourself righteous. So that's all religions. You got to do this, this, and this. And you better be good at it, and you better stick with it, and you better do enough. Because you're never going to get to being righteous again if you don't do enough. And every time you mess up, even a little, you're back down. This plan of Roman Catholicism and all religions, basically, where is the focus? Is the focus on Jesus Christ crucified? What's the focus on? You and your works. And you better get it done. Here's what they teach. Grace plus merit, faith plus your works, Christ plus other mediators, the saints, Scripture plus tradition, but tradition always trumps out, works always trumps faith, and then to the glory of God and Mary and other saints. That's religion. That is a false path that millions are taking. Doesn't matter how you live during the week, just come, receive the Eucharist, receive Mass, go to confession, be forgiven, do your Hail Marys, and you're good to go. God's happy. Because you did all these outward works, and now God's like, wow, you're awesome. The heart's the same. So in Roman Catholicism and all other religions, it's faith in something plus, but your real works are the root. That's the main majority. That's it, everything. And if you don't have your works right, and you don't do enough of them, then you're not going to get salvation. Completely opposite of what the Bible actually teaches. What the Bible teaches is we're born in sin. Even as little babies. That's why you don't have to teach little children to steal and not to share and be selfish and scream and lie. You don't teach them any of those things, but somehow they figure it out. Because we're born in a sin nature. We're born wanting to break rules even before we understand the rules. But somehow, some way, God finds us. And sometimes we're so far in our sin, man, no one, you don't think God could ever find us, but He finds us. And He brings us to the cross. And He tells us about ourselves, you're sinners, you're wretched. You deserve my anger and my wrath. But I love you. I love you so much. This is what I did for you. And He shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with us through a pastor, through an evangelist, through a church member, just through a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we find out that Jesus died for us. And what we need to do is turn from our sins, repent of our evil ways, repent of our self-righteous ways, repent of our false religious ways, and turn and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Then we are justified. Justification happens at the cross. Then from through the cross, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. And when you enter through Him, then you are made righteous. And that righteousness remains because Christ says, once I've saved you, then I'm always with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We are made righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ. And so we walk through this life, not perfect, but there's no condemnation upon us. We remain righteous because of Christ, not because of our works. And when we fail, next week, next month, the gospel of Jesus Christ takes care of that sin. The gospel, the cross, is a daily reminder to us, and it takes care of us daily. It strengthens us to continue in sanctification. It strengthens us not to give up in this life. The cross pays for our sins every day. Hopefully, as we grow in Christ, we sin less, but we will still always sin. Until we are redeemed fully and taken home. Justification by faith in Christ alone is the true Bible gospel. This is where the joy of the Lord floods our hearts. Each day you see how important and beautiful what Jesus did for you on the cross. Here is where you learn and experience the love of God. In the good times and even in the bad times. The joy of Christ, the peace that goes beyond all understanding. Here is where your true meaning and freedom is found. Because it's no longer about you, it's about Christ. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, by Scripture alone, all for the glory of God alone. Faith equals salvation. And true faith and salvation equal, plus it produces works, produces fruit. What fruit is that? Fruit of the Spirit! Fruit of the Spirit is what? The Holy Spirit in you, filling you, and conforming you to the image of Christ. So, salvation. But if there's no change, if there's no image of Christ being formed in you, you're pretty much the same you used to be before you had faith in Christ, before your religious experience, then you don't have Christ. Faith produces salvation, and true salvation produces works, fruit. The primary fruit being conformed to the image of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. We become new creations in Christ. The old is gone. We are free from the sinfulness of the past. We're free from death. We're free from judgment. We're free to embrace a new and wonderful life in Christ. Let's go back to Galatians and finish this up. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit, who is God, to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He, God, gives us the Holy Spirit who works miracles in us, transforming sinners into saints, conforming old pagans into preachers of God's Word. Does that happen by the works of the law? No. By the hearing of faith. And how? And the hearing of faith is accomplished how? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is why it's this is why most of the world is lost. They're not hearing the Word of God. They're definitely not hearing the true gospel, let alone the rest of the Bible. And even so-called Christian churches today, the Word of God is not taught in many of them. It's neglected, it's ignored, it's corrupted and twisted, it's taken out of context and perverted. We've got a bunch of churches here in town doing that. Even in evangelical churches, supposedly true Christians, right? Evangelicals, we're the true Christians. 82% don't even read the Word anymore. And I'm sure that's some of you. I don't know who, but I know. I'm hoping you'll get it. Because without the Word, a believer cannot walk by faith. Without faith, they cannot take the path of discipleship. If they can't take the path of discipleship, no sanctification will happen. So what do? They follow false teachers and pastors down easier paths as cheap counterfeits of sanctification. Okay? We've already talked about these paths. These paths give you a false sense of security that you're okay with God. Well, I had a person here, they passed away. They were here, but they passed away. I went to them when they were dying, and the person was scared. They'd been sitting under my teaching for a couple of years. They were scared. And that's normal. Death is not natural. But they were scared they weren't going to go to heaven. And it kind of surprised me. And I said, I started talking to them and asking a few questions. And they said, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. I've been attending church and blah, blah. And I'm like, my jaw just hit the floor. I'm like, have you not been listening to what I've been teaching for 3 years? You're not a good person. Your church attendance doesn't. That's religion. Is your heart right before God? Has it been forgiven? Have you been born again? That is what redeems us, what justifies us. These other paths give a false sense of security. People believe they're saved only to find out Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Lord, Lord, look what we've done for you. On that day, they'll say, Lord, Lord. And he'll look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. But we've been in church our entire life. We've served in ministry. We've done all sorts of things. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. because they're trying to boast about their works. Look what we have done. It's not about what we have done, it's about what Christ has done. The cross, Jesus crucified. See, that, when it really comes into your life, changes you. You're completely made into a new creation. Let's go back to Galatians 3, verse 5. Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. We're saved by faith. Not by works, by faith. It's always been that way. Abraham, before the law was even given, believed what God told him. It was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham was justified before God, not by works, not by the law. The law hadn't even been given. He was justified by having faith in what God said. Faith that God would bring salvation to all the nations. Verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. This morning, do you feel blessed to be in Christ? Has your salvation brought real joy, freedom, and change to you? Now I'm going to ask these other questions here, and I don't want any responses. I just, you answer them to yourself. This morning, are you a true spiritual child of Abraham? Meaning, are you born again, saved by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you yearn in your soul to be on the path of discipleship? Because if God is, the Holy Spirit is coming into your life, He's going to put that desire into you. You're going to want to be a disciple. Or do you travel some other path, some other religious path, or a self-serving path? Answer that honestly to yourself. Are you being sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God, being conformed to the image of Christ? Are you a new creation, or is the who you are now pretty much like who you were before Christ? Now you just got some religious aspects to you. Are you simply a religious type? Do you have the joy of the Spirit, or are you kind of dry inside, empty? You're trying to put on a good outward showing, but inside there's really nothing there. Do you crave to grow in Christ? Do you crave to share the truth with others? Or are you content just attending church once a week, which is fine? You don't have to come to church every time the doors are open. But are you content with just attending church and keeping the truth of the gospel to yourself? There's a lot of people like that. Well, I go to church every Sunday. Great. Hopefully you're doing it because you love the people and you love God and you're wanting to be there. But a lot of people just, I attend church every Sunday. I'm a good person. But they never share the gospel with anybody else. They don't even think about it. Well, why would I do that? Well, let me tell you something. If you just attend church and to make yourself feel good about yourself, okay. But if you don't have a desire, and it's scary, I'm not saying you won't have fears, but we should desire to want to share the truth. If the truth has really come in and changed us, then we want others to have that. So we share. Can you tell me with 100% certainty that right now, hey, Gordon, close those doors. Nothing wrong today, but I got a bunch of people filtering from the second service. I'm not done here. I don't want the distraction. So you're okay. You're the last one. Because I like you. This morning, can you tell me with 100% certainty that right now, you can stand before God justified. You're righteous. Right now. 100% certainty. And it's not because of yourself. Because if we were dependent on ourselves for that, none of us would be like, oh, maybe I've done enough. No, it's because you do truly believe in Christ. If you can't tell me right now, 100%, if you were to stand before God right now that you are justified, then and you're that your life shows the evidence of true saving faith, then we need to fix that. Is the gospel, Jesus crucified, an active force in your life each day? Or have you turned to a path where the gospel is just a moment in your past? The cross, the sacrifice of Jesus, no longer stirs your soul each and every day. It's something in your past, and now it's all kind of about you. If so, you have fallen into the same trap the Galatians fell into. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. The beauty and joy of salvation is not just a moment to experience once in your life, but each day of your life. Not getting saved over and over. You're saved once, you're born again, but now the life, the new life. You get to seek the Lord each and every day. You get to run to Him, not just when life gets hard, like most people do, but each and every day. To walk with Him, to talk with Him, to experience Him. The gospel has given us a new life in Christ. Embrace it. Let it completely change you. Let Him become your life. Jesus promises to those who will diligently seek Him and surrender to sanctification, He says, I'll give you my joy. I'll give you my peace. Let the gospel not only save you, but change you. Don't take some cheap, false, substitute path, counterfeit path of religion, or self-serving path. Embrace Christ crucified. Embrace discipleship. Embrace the Word of God. Embrace sanctification. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Embrace Jesus Christ. Embrace God the Father. Run to Him each and every day. Embrace your new life that Christ gave His life for. Let Him reign in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've all come from different paths, different backgrounds. We've traveled many sinful roads. But the cross takes care of all that. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. We're new creations in You. We are righteous, justified because of You. We can stand firmly in that. But Lord, our focus should never come back to us. It should remain on You. Where we start to become Your disciples, we start to be sanctified by the Spirit, we start to be transformed so people can see You in us. Lord, I pray that is the path we're all going to be on. Every member of this church. You always have some in churches doing it, but to have everyone in church doing this, I don't know if that's ever happened before. But all things are possible, Lord, through You. Could we possibly have a church filled with disciples, all being sanctified, all loving one another? Because that's what You said, the world will know that we are truly Your disciples by our love for one another. Will we actually love one another? Will we actually embrace the stranger? Embrace taking Your truth out into the world? Lord, all those things are possible if each one of us will surrender to You. Let the old go. Embrace the new. Lord, I pray that for every person in this church. By Your grace alone, Lord. By faith alone. By Scripture alone. All for Your glory. I pray that You do a good work, a great work in us. Humble us, Lord. Let us be at Your feet. We pray this in Your name. Amen.